We now then ask for your earnest attention to the words of our speaker, Mr. Arthur Hughes, who is due to give us a lecture on the title, The Miracle of Israel. Brother Arthur, please.
And sisters and young people, as we've been announced, this evening we are to consider the miracle of Israel. Without doubt, many will say regarding the title of our address this evening, what's so special about Israel? Well, first and foremost, the land of Israel, although to most people just an insignificant piece of land in the Middle East, not much bigger than Wales, but it is recorded in the Bible that the eyes of God are always upon it. And regarding its capital, Jerusalem, it is to become the city of the great King, the Lord Jesus Christ, when upon this earth God will set up a kingdom which will last for 1,000 years. It is over 3,900 years ago since Abraham, that great man of faith, received from God a promise, a covenant, as our brother read from those chapters in Genesis, a promise that from him, Abraham, should spring a great nation, which was to occupy the land of Palestine. It was also revealed to him in the terms of a covenant made with him by God that a particular seed would eventually come in his line of descent who would possess the gates of his enemies. And in this one, all nations of the world would be blessed. Abraham was promised that he, along with this seed, would inherit the land forever. The Apostle Paul, in his letter to the Galatians, we won't turn to it, we have so much to say this evening on the subject, in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 16, makes it abundantly clear that the seed referred to, the singular seed, is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Who shall indeed inherit the kingdom, shall possess the gates of his enemies. So in considering the history of the Jews, it is important to keep in mind that God's covenant with Abraham, that we read this evening, requires that Christ must return from the heavens, where he now sits at the right hand of God, and that Abraham himself must be the subject of a resurrection, and the land of Israel given to him and his seed for an everlasting possession. At that time, when the Lord Jesus Christ returns, and Abraham and the faithful are resurrected, all opposition upon earth to the Son of God will end in destruction. And finally, all the earth will be blessed in the Lord Jesus Christ and the faithful. The natural descendants of Abraham, the Jews, whom God took to himself as his own peculiar nation, were subject to certain conditions relating to their tenancy of the land. And in the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy, we won't turn to it at the moment, it tells us quite plainly that the blessings that would come upon the people of Israel if they obeyed God's laws while in that land. And it also tells us of the terrible curses that would come upon them if they should disobey God's commands. These things we have to remember. If they obeyed God's commands, God would bless them abundantly. If they failed and disobeyed his commands, then God would curse them with curses. History sadly has shown that Israel, through their disobedience of God's laws, have suffered terrible persecutions throughout their existence as a nation. They became prey to the great Gentile nations such as Assyria, Persia, Greece, and Rome. Since the days of those promises of the covenant of God to Abraham, 10 of the tribes of Israel, because of their disobedience, have been taken out of the land by the Assyrians and have not yet returned. 2 of the tribes, Judah and Benjamin, were at one time taken out of the land for 70 years for their disobedience. And then in AD 70, God, in his fury, punished the 2 tribes in the land for their sins and for crucifying his beloved son. The Romans came, destroyed their beloved temple, and those who did not die in the terrible siege of Jerusalem were sold into slavery and scattered throughout the world, where they have wandered and been persecuted, plundered and robbed, and so become a byword, a proverb and a byword, the wandering Jew. The wandering Jew. While their land lay desolate and they forbidden to enter it on point of death, they became the detested race among the nations. In this country, in 1189, a commotion broke out in London and their houses were pillaged and burned. In Europe, they were tortured and burnt alive. In France, in 1321, there were terrible massacres of the Jews in whole provinces there. Jews were burned to death. In Germany, in 1930, they lost their citizenship, were forbidden to intermarry with other Germans. Their synagogues were destroyed. They could attend no schools. They could not engage in any type of business. They could own no land and frequent no park. They could not frequent a library or a museum, and had to live in ghettos. Upon their clothes, they had to wear the yellow badge, the Star of David, to show all around them that they were the detested race among the nations. In Russia, it was the same. The terrible pogroms, when they would be set upon and persecuted unmercifully and robbed of what little they had, no mercy was shown toward man, woman, or child. World War II saw them being gathered and put into appalling concentration camps, where it is said 6 millions of them died just because they were Jews. Just because they were Jews. Let's turn to that prophecy in Deuteronomy chapter 28, where we read of a blessing for obedience. Deuteronomy chapter 28. And we read there in the first couple of verses where it says, "And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently to the voice of Yahweh the Elohim, to observe and to do all his commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth." Verse 15, "But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee." Turn to verse 64. "And the Lord shall scatter thee among all people, from the one end of the earth even unto the other. And there thou shalt serve other gods, which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, even wood and stone. And among these nations shalt thou find no ease, neither shall the sole of thy foot have rest. But the Lord shall give thee there a trembling heart, and failing of eyes, and sorrow of mind. And thy life shall hang in doubt before thee, and thou shalt fear day and night, and shalt have none assurance of thy life. In the morning thou shalt say, Would God it were even. And at even thou shalt say, Would God it were morning. For the fear of thine heart, wherewith thou shalt fear, and for the sight of thine eyes, which thou shalt see. And the Lord shall bring thee into Egypt again, with ships by the way, whereof I spake unto thee. Thou shalt see it again no more. And there he shall be sold unto your enemies for bondmen and bondwomen, and no man shall buy him. God does not lie. God does not lie. He doesn't say one thing and not mean what he says. So those things that he has predicted in that 28th chapter of Deuteronomy and other places in the scripture have come upon this people of Israel. Mark Twain, amazed at the seeing and hearing of all their suffering and persecution and being scattered throughout the world as if they were scum, and seeing that the Jews were still remaining a people, a nation, he asks the question, what is the secret of the immortal Jew? What's the secret of the immortal Jew? Are the people suffering and being scattered like this have been lost or integrated into other nations, such as Babylon and Tyre, etc.? But not the Jew. But we could tell Mark Twain, as we study our scriptures, it isn't a secret. It isn't a secret why the Jew has become a nation today in the earth, even after all that they have endured. It is because God said that it would be so. God said that it would be so. He made that covenant with Abraham, and that covenant he said he will not break. He will not break that covenant that he made with Abraham. Though I make an end of all nations, he says, yet will I not make an end, full end of thee. Is not this a miracle? Is not this a miracle? Jeremiah in chapter 20, 32 and verse 37 says, Behold, I will gather them out of all countries whither I have driven them in mine anger and in my fury and in great wrath. And I will bring them in again unto this place, and I will cause them to dwell safely, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. Is it any wonder? Is it any wonder that the Jews have yearned for that restoration of their independence, to see their nation restored in the land? In the year 1881, intensive persecution of the Jews in Russia brought considerable response to the appeals for a return to Palestine. In August 1897, the first Zionist Congress was held. Its aim, a home in Palestine for the Jews, that they might go back to their land and that they might have peace. Many influential Jews, such as Theodor Herzl, Dr. Chaim Weizmann, and the Rothschilds, etc., worked hard to bring about this aim, a home for the Jews in Palestine. Outstanding work in this development was the work of Dr. Chaim Weizmann, a skillful Jewish chemist who elaborated the process for the production of acetone. Acetone is an essential ingredient in the making of shells in the war, an ingredient which the British needed badly as they were losing men and ships trying to bring in the acetone from abroad. Dr. Chaim Weizmann helped them out in their great need, and the government, rightly so, wished to reward this man for his valuable services to the country. But Dr. Weizmann declined any personal honours for his work. What he did request was that something be done in respect to the repatriation of his people back to their land. And as a result of ensuing negotiations, in 1917, the British government issued the famous Balfour Declaration, favouring the establishment of a national home in Palestine for the Jews. And in the year 1920, the mandate for Palestine was allotted to Great Britain. But as we can imagine, the Balfour Declaration soon aroused the heated opposition of the Arab nations. And try as they may, the nations have failed to bring out a peaceful solution that they might of this great problem, that they might live in peace in the land of Israel. The Middle East, as we are all aware, has been for many years a boiling pot ready to explode at any time. Yet, after World War II, thousands and thousands of Jews fled the persecutions of Europe and went to Palestine. And against all odds, on the 14th day of May 1948, the State of Israel was set up. Britain, to her shame, reneged on her duty to this young nation, whom they had promised that they would have a home in Palestine. And they left this fledgling nation to the mercy of five Arab nations, who within 48 hours of the proclamation of the new state being announced, attacked this fledgling nation. By a desire, as has been said so often by their leaders, their desire being to drive Israel into the sea, to do what Hitler failed to do. Hitler is in his grave. The Jews are still alive in Germany. The president of Iran wants to drive out all the Jews out of Palestine, and has said to the people, murder them, he said, drive them away. Yet against all odds, the Jews survived in 1948 and became a nation reckoned with in the earth. In 1967, on June the 5th, owing to provocation over the holy places, Israel simultaneously attacked Egypt, Syria, Jordan with paralyzing effect. Israel had mobilized just 275,000 soldiers, which included women. Confronting them in Sinai was an Egyptian army of 100,000. A further 50,000 were quartered in the Yemen. The crack Jordanian legions to the east total 55,000. To the north, Syria massed 50,000 troops. Iraq moved a whole division, about 18,000 men, into Jordan as reserves. In the Gaza Strip was the Palestinian Liberation army, supported by the 7th and 20th Egyptian divisions. And all these Arab armies were equipped with the latest and the most expensive equipment supplied by Russia, who had at least 5 Soviet warships which had passed into the Turkish Straits and had taken up battle stations off the Israeli coastline. These were unbelievable odds against the little nation of Israel. But within two hours, the massive armaments of Egypt and Jordan were smashed to pieces. Egypt's planes supplied by Russia lay in ruins before they could get off the ground. Israel advanced to within 12 miles of Damascus and to the Suez Canal. At the same time, taking the entrance to the Gulf of Aqaba. In all, supplies to the value of $2,000 million were captured or destroyed, and Jerusalem was made free. One writer commenting on this remarkable victory says, "After years of threats and intimidation against Israel, President Gamal Nasser, who also wanted to drive Israel into the sea, of Nasser of Egypt, announced the prospects, said, are for war with Israel. We will choose the time and we will choose the place." Israel, realizing the situation which they were in, said they must take the initiative or suffer terrible consequences. The first shots were fired at 7:45 a.m. on Monday, the 5th of June, 1967. 19 Egyptian airfields in the Nile Delta and Sinai took the full impact of the shattering onslaught of the Israeli Air Force, which had taken off from their bases at dawn in a preemptive strike. Flying westwards over the Mediterranean, squadrons of Israeli fighters kept low over the sea out of the range of the Egyptian radar and spotter screens. Wheeling sharply inland, this writer says, some swept over Alexandria, while others attacked them from behind the mountains of Sinai. According to a strategically worked out surprise operation, within a few hours, 300 of Egyptian and Syrian aircraft were reduced to smoking shells on the wrecked runways. And although they didn't know it at that time, the Arab-Israeli war was effectively over by 12 noon that same morning. Truly a miracle. God was with Israel. Truly a miracle. God says through Isaiah chapter 54 verse 7, "For a small remnant I have forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee, like I have watched over thee to pluck up, so will I watch over them to build them and to plant." Are not these prophecies being enacted before our eyes? Turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 31. Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 27. "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will sow the house of Israel and the house of Judah with the seed of man and with the seed of beast, and it shall come to pass that like as I have watched over them, to pluck up and to break down and to throw down and to destroy and to afflict, so will I watch over them to build and to plant, saith the Lord. In those days they shall say no more, the fathers have eaten a sour grape and the children's teeth are on edge. But every one shall die for his own iniquity. Every man that eateth the sour grape, his head shall be set on edge. His teeth shall be set on edge. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them out by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbour and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them and to the greatest of them, saith the Lord. And I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Thus saith the Lord, which gives the sun for a light by day, and the ordinances of the moon of the stars for a light by night, which divideth the sea when the waves thereof roll. The Lord of hosts is his name. If those ordinances depart from before me, saith the Lord, then the seed of Israel also shall cease from being a nation before me forever. Thus saith the Lord, if the heavens above can be measured and the foundation of the earth searched out beneath, I will also cast off all the seed of Israel for all that they have done, saith the Lord. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that the city shall be built to the Lord from the tower of Hananel and to the corner of, unto the gate of the corner. And the measuring line shall yet go forth over against it upon the hill Garib, and shall compass about to Goath. And the whole valley of the dead bodies and of the ashes, and all the fields unto the brook Kidron, and to the corner of the horse gate toward the east, shall be holy unto the Lord. It shall not be plucked up nor thrown down any more forever. Yes, these prophecies have come, though not complete. This chapter that we read has not completely come to pass yet. But God has not and will not forget his covenant that he made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We have seen the Jews return to their land from all the countries of the world where they have been driven. The land which for centuries had been laid waste is becoming almost as the Garden of Eden. At this juncture, we would like to draw your attention to a wonderful prophecy of God through Ezekiel the prophet, showing to us that these things that have happened to Israel have been clearly predicted in God's word, the Bible. That Israel, who was politically dead, was scattered throughout the earth, will rise up and become a political nation in the earth. Turn to Ezekiel chapter 37. Ezekiel chapter 37. And here we have in the vision of the dry bones, we read in verse 1, And the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of dead bones and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. He said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, Prophesy upon these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, Prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, Thus saith the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them. And they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say our bones are dried and our hope is lost and we are cut off for our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, O my people, I will open up your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. Have not these prophecies come to pass? Throughout all Israel's wanderings and persecution, brought about by their own sins, God had set a time. He had set a time when he, by his mighty power, would bring them back to him. And we have seen Israel, who have been downtrodden, persecuted, wanderers throughout the world, politically dead for centuries, becoming a political entity, a powerful political force in the world today. They have ambassadors throughout the world, and they are a member of the United Nations organization. God's word has been put so true, and I shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then ye shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. But here, sadly, we must pause for a moment. For it must be stated that though many, many of the children of Israel are back in the land, as God predicted they would be, and though they are a nation to be reckoned with in the world, sadly, they are still in unbelief. And the majority of Jews think that all the wonderful things that have been achieved have been by their own power and might. This that we see is only a partial restoration of the Jews to their land. But there are still many, many thousands of Jews in America, in this country, and throughout the world. God will bring them back. The promises of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, for the promises of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to be realized in the earth, when all shall possess the land forever and be blessed above all nations upon the earth, to possess the gates of their enemies, they must be humbled. They must be humbled and brought low. They must realize that all that has been done has not been their doing. And all the pride of Isaiah chapter 2 tells us all the pride of man must be brought low. Scripture reveals a time of great tribulation to come upon the world once again, and to come upon the Jews that are in the land, and upon all nations of the world. A time spoken by Daniel the prophet in his 12th chapter as a time of trouble such as not been since there was a nation upon the earth. Jeremiah 2, speaking of this time, says, Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it, such is the terrible time that is to come upon the earth. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. Jacob's trouble, the time when the Jews will be brought low, when they will recognize their God. Yes, when once again the Jews will be brought into great tribulation, when the King of the North, Russia and her confederates, shall come down upon the land of Israel, and the King of the South, Britain and her confederates, in her defense of Israel, shall fight that great battle of Armageddon around Jerusalem. In that terrible conflict, 2/3 of the Jewish nation will perish, and 5/5 of the Gogian host, not counting millions in the rest of the world, will perish in that time of judgment that is to come upon the world. A time when Israel shall be saved from utter annihilation by God through the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall return at this time to the earth, as the Apostle Paul tells us, to judge the earth in righteousness, to bring peace on earth and goodwill among men. The result of this terrible battle of Armageddon will be victory for Christ and the risen saints who will be with him at that time and found at his judgment seat. To read of this time, read 37 and 38 of the prophet Ezekiel. It is then that the gathering of the Jews throughout the world will take place. It is then, after that mighty battle of Armageddon, that the Jews throughout the world will be brought back to the nation. And when they shall be brought to the knowledge that he who has saved them is none other than he whom their fathers rejected, the Lord Jesus Christ, then shall they say, blessed is he who cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed is he who cometh in the name of the Lord. And they will go with Christ, so that when Christ conquers the world, they will be with Christ as his battle axe. When Christ shall, as predicted in the covenant made with Abraham, shall possess the gates of his enemies and become the King of kings and Lord of lords upon the earth. Turn to Zechariah chapter 12. Zechariah chapter 12. Zechariah chapter 12 and verse 9. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem in that time of Armageddon. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplication. And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. And they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. They shall recognize that it is indeed the Lord Jesus Christ and the faithful that have saved them from utter annihilation. Now will the Jews become the head of all nations upon the earth, and no more the tail, no more persecuted. Now they will become the head of all nations upon the earth. And the scriptures tell us, the sons of them that afflicted thee shall come bending unto thee. And all they that despise thee shall bow themselves down at the soles of thy feet. And they shall call thee the city of the Lord, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel. Thy people also shall be all righteous. They shall inherit the land, as we've read right back in Genesis. They shall inherit the land forever. Now they will walk in God's ways, and they will inherit the land forever. The branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I might be glorified, says God. Turn to Amos chapter 9. Amos chapter 9 and verse 11. In that day will I raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen, and close up the breaches thereof, and I will raise up his ruins, and I will build it as in the days of old, that they may possess the remnant of Edom and of all the heathen which are called by my name, saith the Lord that doeth this. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that the ploughman shall overtake the reaper and the treader of grapes, him that soweth seed, and the mountains shall drop sweet wine, and all the hills shall melt. And I will bring again the captivity of my people Israel, and they shall build the waste cities and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and drink the wine thereof. They shall also make gardens and eat the fruit of them, and I will plant them upon their land, and they shall and they no more shall be pulled out of their land which I have given them, saith the Lord thy God. Yes, they will be the planting of Yahweh. There they will live in peace and safety, and they shall be the head of all nations. We, in our generation, have seen the miracle of Israel in part. Before our eyes, we have seen the Jews go back to the land as God said they would. And the Lord Jesus Christ is about to return to consummate that great and precious promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the faithful. If we wish to have a part and a place in that age, we have to take upon ourselves the saving name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we too might become heirs of that wonderful promise, that we too, when Israel is blessed, will also be blessed in Abraham in that wonderful day of righteousness and peace. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 2. Isaiah chapter 2. And verse 2. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and be exalted above the hills. All nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall say, come ye and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among the nations, and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. What a wonderful time to contemplate. We have saw the miracle of Israel. May we take upon ourselves the saving name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we might live in that age of righteousness and peace and plenty in the day to come.